Hadvai dhanusta ishava sadato hayaste soham ratinre patayo yata anamanti sarvam shanena tadabhut asadisha riktam bhasman hutam kuhakaradham ivoktamushyam. I have the very same Gandiva bow, the same arrows, the same chariot drawn by the same horses. And I use them as the same Arjuna to whom all the kings offer their due respects. But in the absence of Lord Krishna, all of them at a moment's notice have become null and void. It is exactly like offering clarified butter on ashes, accumulating money with a magic wand, or sowing seeds on barren land. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Vansha kalpata rubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patithanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari. This is a very important verse we are reading this evening. From the 15th chapter of the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In this chapter we find Maharaj Yudhisthira. He is residing in Sri Hastinapur. 7 months before Arjuna had left him to visit Dwaraka, to see the holy darshan of his beloved friend, Lord and Master, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. It was a long absence, and Maharaj Yudhisthira was seeing all around him inauspicious signs. He saw the symptoms of Kali Yuga. One thing he noticed was that the seasons were becoming mixed, interchanged. There were symptoms of rain in the dry seasons. There was the fructification of plants at early times when they were not supposed to be growing. He also saw that men were becoming greedy, angry, violent, that even family members and friends were fighting with one another, arguing with one another, something that was practically unheard of in a civilized society. He was wondering, while Krishna is living, how can these things take place in common men's lives? Anyways, at that time, Arjuna returned. He returned, but he didn't look like the same Arjuna. His beautiful bodily luster was gone. He was pale white. There were tears within his eyes. His limbs were trembling. He looked like a man who has lost everything. Yudhisthira inquired from him, "Were you defeated by your enemies? Did you fail to offer charity to a person in need? Did you fail to give to a protection to a woman who was in need? Did you offend respectable people? What is the reason that you look like you are so much in distress? You have just been to Dwarka. How is Vasudev and Devaki? How is Ugrasena? How are all the various inhabitants of the Yadu dynasty? And most of all, how is Balaram and Lord Sri Krishna, the master and friend of all living beings?" Arjuna choked up, hardly able to speak. He began to explain. That Krishna and all the Yadu dynasty had left this world. And in the absence of Krishna, the whole world, the universe, appears like a dreary void. That same Krishna who gave me so much love, so much power and so much strength, he has left. He explained that in that great battlefield of Kurukshetra, there was an ocean of terrible warriors against us. Bhishma, Drona, Shalya, Susharma, Karna. And because Krishna was seated beside me on my chariot, alone did I have the strength to defeat and kill them all. I was victorious. I was such a warrior that even the greatest kings were fearful of my mighty arms, and they would bow and touch my feet. It was by the grace of Sri Krishna that I was able to conquer Indra, the king of heaven, with all of his denizens, and they all took shelter of me. It was by the grace of Krishna that even when Lord Shiva tested my strength, I was able to defeat him. It was by the power and grace of Lord Sri Krishna that even though the greatest warriors in all the universe were assembled to take the hand of Draupadi in marriage, I was able to defeat them all and take her away. But now, the same Gandiva Bhau, which was able to perform such miracles of conquering all the three worlds, and the same arms, and I am the same Arjuna. But after Krishna has left this world, I took his wives to protect them, and a band of infidel cowherd boys attacked me to steal his wives away. And with all my strength and all my power and all my fighting skills and my Gandiva bow and the same arrows that defeated all in the battle of Kurukshetra, they were of no use. I was defeated. I was rendered helpless. Arjuna came to the realization that actually it was never at any time my strength, my prowess, my wisdom, but it is all Krishna's. Like a child, sometimes Krishna gives us something to play with, some good intelligence, or some strength, or some power. But when the parent sees time to stop playing, he takes all these toys away from us. And what can we do? But modern civilization, plunged in the greatest illusion, are thinking that they are the doers of their activities. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudhatma karataham iti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul thinks himself the doer of his activities, but in actuality they are carried out by nature. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharachara. And Krishna is that one who is the controller of master of this material nature. Unfortunately, though, we are failing to understand that it is the presence of Krishna in anything that gives it any value. The spirit soul is part of Krishna. What gives value to this life? Only the power and presence of Krishna as the soul. The body itself is dead. It has always been dead, and it will always be dead. It is the presence of the Atma. It is the presence of God within our heart that gives our life value, meaning, and attraction. When the soul leaves this body, what is left? Even the most beautiful, lovely woman who everyone is chasing after, at the time of death, the same body they're so hypnotized by, who wants it? They throw it in the fire, or they put it in the ground for the worms and the maggots to eat. Even one who is a graduate of Oxford University, who has passed his PhD, when the soul leaves the body, do they give his dead corpse his PhD? Do they congratulate him for his great scholarship? They throw it in the ground. It is only the presence of God that gives anything meaning in this world. Our Guru Maharaj used to tell a story about a beautiful young woman who was very chaste and very religious. And an unscrupulous man was constantly trying to court her. He was telling her all nice things, trying to somehow or other seduce her, to allow him to enjoy with her. Anyways, this girl, she would just ignore him again and again and again, but he would not give up. He was too much infatuated and attached by her beauty. So one day she said, all right, you want to enjoy with me so much? Come after 3 days and you can enjoy my beauty. So he was very happy. He was making all arrangements to have a wonderful time after 3 days. In the meanwhile, this woman was so compassionate. She wanted to give him a good spiritual understanding of life, even though he was a rogue. She began to take very, very powerful purgatives, laxatives. And she was passing stool and urine and vomiting for 3 continuous days without sleep. But she was very intelligent. Whatever came out of her body in the form of vomit, urine, and stool, she stored it in a very, very nice container. And after 3 days passed, The man came all nicely decorated, ready to enjoy like anything. And he came to the house, and she was sitting on the footpath in front of the house. And she was dressed in rags. She was lean, she was thin, she was emaciated, she was discolored, her hair was disheveled, she was a mess. And he was knocking on the door. And she said, "Yes." He said, "I'm looking for that beautiful woman. Do you know where she is? I have come to make love with her. Where is she?" She said, "I am that woman. Don't you recognize me?" He was shocked. "You are that woman. Where is your beauty? The woman I am looking for, the woman I am in love with, is beautiful." She said, "Yes, I still have all my beauty. I have just separated it." You want to see this beauty that you were so attracted to? You want to see the difference between me now and the beauty that was extracted from me, that you're so much feeling? Where is it? I'll show you exactly where it is. And she brought the container. And she opened it up. Arrivo! And he got a three-dimensional vision of her beauty. With the fragrance of the beauty, the sight of the beauty. She said, "Don't you see that the only difference between that beautiful form then and now is just these ingredients? Don't you know that all this body is these ingredients? And you are under such an illusion, so infatuated, ready to commit sinful activities just to enjoy this? Ready to degrade your entire life simply for this purpose of enjoying these substances just in another form?" The real beauty is the soul. When the soul leaves, there is no beauty. Nobody is attracted by death. People are attracted by life. Life is the presence of the soul. And Krishna is the Paramatma. He is the Supreme Soul. He is the source of all beauty. He is the source of all power. He is the source of all knowledge. He is the source of everything that exists. Krishna says, "All beautiful and wonderful things in this world are just the spark of my splendor." This was the realization Arjuna had. That I thought I was a great fighter, but I was simply an instrument in the hand of God. In fact, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Arjuna fought so hard against so many terrible, terrible Maharathis. And his body and his chariot was getting beaten so bad, but it still remained in perfect condition. And after the battle was finished, Krishna told Arjuna, "You get off the chariot." Arjuna said, "Krishna, you should get off first." He said, no, believe me, you get off first." So Arjuna got off the chariot first. And then when Krishna stepped down from the chariot, the whole chariot turned into dust and it just fell to the ground. Arjuna was shocked. What happened? He said, "The amount of blows by the different weapons of these soldiers against your chariot, this is the natural course of action that would have happened. But because I have remained on that chariot, I have preserved it." In our today's society, people are mad after decorating these bodies that are simply being preserved by the presence of the soul in God. And we are completely neglecting the needs of the soul. That is the source of all the problems and miseries of this entire creation. Decorating dead bodies rather than serving the source of all life. And ultimately, Krishna takes all those decorations away. We are depending on him at all times. And if we are not willing to recognize it, ultimately, in the form of death, he makes that recognition clear as the sun at noon. For a devotee, he sees death as Krishna. For a materialistic person, he sees Krishna as death. Prabhupada used to tell us, do not be proud of borrowed plumes. Whatever you have is by the grace of God. Guru Maharaj told another story. Punara Mushtaka Bhava. You know this? Huh? It's the story of a mouse. This mouse was being chased by a cat. So he went to a great yogi who had mystic powers. You know this story, Jagadish? I will tell it. So this mouse was very much afraid of the cat, and he ran to the yogi and he says, Maharaji, Maharaji, please. What? How can I serve you? Please give me a benediction. What do you want? Make me a cat. Then no cat can ever bother me again. Then I will be peaceful. Then I'll have nothing to fear in life. And I can go chasing after mice. The yogi said, my dear mouse, by changing your material position, you will not be satisfied. Only by taking shelter of the Lord in the heart will you be satisfied. What is this Lord in the heart? All I know, Lord in the heart or no Lord in the heart, this cat is harassing me. And if I'm a cat, no cat will harass me anymore. Make me a cat. All right. You become cat. He was a cat. And he was very much looking at his claws. Ha-ha. Very nice. Now let me go chase some mice. And he was chasing mice, thinking, now I am fearless. Until one day, ruff, 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 a dog. He never saw a dog before. He went running to the yogi. Maharaji, Maharaji, please, please, what do you want now? Please, I'm being harassed by a dog, this big dog. I told you wouldn't be happy as a cat. Just take shelter of the Lord of your heart. It is the only refuge. No. Some other day. When I get old and I retire from business and my children grow up, then I'll take shelter of the Lord of the heart. But right now, make me a dog. You want to be a dog? Then you be a dog. Ruff, 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 ruff. You became dog. And then he went chasing after cats. And he was barking at everybody. He was very much enjoying his new position, his promotion. Until one day he decided to go explore. And he went into the forest. And there he met a tiger. And when the tiger started chasing after him, ruff, 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 he ran, Maharaji, Maharaji, what do you want now? I want to be a tiger. You want to be a tiger. You'll never be happy by any of these material arrangements. Just take shelter of the Lord of your... I will, but for now, just make me a tiger. All right.
You be a tiger. He was very much feeling his prowess. His big sharp teeth, his fast, powerful body, big claws.
He started looking at the yogi.
The yogi was looking, well, why are you looking at me? Why are you looking at me? You want to eat me? He came to attack the yogi to eat him. And just when he was about to devour the yogi said, Punarmushtukabhav. Again, become a mouse. He became mouse. Krishna is the supreme yogi. He is Yogeshwara. Whatever we have, whatever position, whatever powers, they are all the gifts of God. It is all by His grace. And yet, disrespectful to His instruction, to His will, we are misusing these gifts. And ultimately, Punarmushtakabhava, Krishna takes it all away. He gives it, He can take it. The purpose of life is to utilize the gifts of God in God's loving service. Understanding that what gives beauty to my family members is the presence of God that gives life to their bodies. What I love in my children, in my wife, in my husband, in my friends, in my parents, is the presence of God within their hearts. Because as soon as Krishna leaves, there's nothing to love. There's just a dead corpse. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he used to go into the streets every morning and he used to call out to people that you are spending your days uselessly decorating your dead bodies. And you are spending your nights lost in the ignorance of sleep. In this way, your whole lives are being wasted. Why don't you serve the Lord of your heart? The true and real object of your love. The true source of your very life. The provider and sustainer of everything that exists. This is the basic principle of spirituality. Whoever we are, whatever we have, we should know it is by the grace of God. Arjuna, who was he in comparison to any of us? He and his brothers conquered the entire world. They were the kings of the planet. And Hastinapur, with its assembly house built by Maya Danava, the great demon, it was the most spectacular residence ever seen. And yet, Arjuna's realization was, when Krishna left them, they were unable even to do the simplest things to protect themselves. The most mighty Gandiva bow and the same arrows were useless. His arms were without any strength. And in that separation, he began to weep. And in this beautiful beautiful verse, he's explaining that without Krishna, everything we have, what is its value? He says, it's like offering ghee, clarified butter, on ashes. It's like sowing seeds in barren land. If you drop a seed in the Arabian desert, the seed is good, but nothing will happen. Even if you pour the most pure, transparent ghee, which is meant to be put on the fire, if you put it on ashes, it is simply a waste. In the same way, Krishna is the fire. Without Krishna, our body, our life, our everything is like ashes. Modern civilization means that civilization where people are mad after pouring ghee on ashes. Taking the wonderful, luxurious gifts of God simply for this dead body. Bhagavad Gita teaches this principle foremost. We are not this body. We are the eternal soul. And whatever we do, we should do in relationship to the soul. In relationship to the soul's eternal loving devotion to Krishna, to God. And how to do? It is very practical. Krishna consciousness is a practical, day-to-day, moment-to-moment process by which we can keep our consciousness always connected to Krishna, by which we can always be living in reference to our soul. No doubt, this body is a machine that needs to be taken care of nicely, but for the purpose of the ultimate goal of life, this body is not meant for the purpose of enjoying moment-to-moment pleasures. This body is a gift of God given to the soul, which is meant to be utilized for those activities which give enlightenment and realization to the soul. And for this purpose, Krishna gives us the scriptures and he gives us the sadhus to tell us exactly how we can live and attain the highest pleasure. The body's growing old. The body's getting diseased. And you cannot stop it. No one can stop it. Even the greatest scientist of our modern times, Mr. Einstein, Sriman Albert Einstein, Prabhupada said. He was such a great, great, great scientist. So much wisdom and knowledge. But when he died, when the presence of God left his heart, all that was left was a dead corpse. Could that corpse figure out E equals MC2 or anything else? There was no wisdom in that dead corpse. There was no knowledge. There was no power for scientific discoveries. It was Krishna in his heart that was the scientist. And there are so many diseases. There is old age. There is death. These are the real problems of this world. And the fact is, on the physical platform, no one has ever even made any advancement in any way in solving the problems of old age, disease, and death. We may say that Mr. Pastor cured rabies, and somebody else found a vaccine for smallpox. There may have been cures for specific diseases, but as soon as one disease is cured, another one comes up that's worse. People were dying at one time of tuberculosis, and they found the cure to tuberculosis. And people started dying of cancer. Now they're starting to make some progress on cancer. Now there's AIDS. Even if they find the cure to AIDS, something else will come. Because the problems of birth, old age, disease, and death are unsolvable by the material platform. We could try our best, we could do our best. But even our best doctors are always sick. Huh? Sri Govind is a great surgeon, but he can hardly dance because of back pains. Huh? And his father is an even greater surgeon. And he also has so many difficulties. No doubt. Everyone is like this. It is the nature of the world. You cannot solve the problem. You can do the best you can. Guru Maharaj used to say, in this world, make the best use of a bad bargain. Huh? If it's a bad bargain, you just make the best use of it. But it's not a good bargain. Try to keep body and soul together the best possible way. But ultimately, that's not the goal of life. That's just what we do on the side while we're trying to attain the goal of life. The goal of life is to remove ourselves from this problem of birth, old age, disease, and death. As we get older, we could feel that death is approaching. Death is knocking at our door. And we keep the door locked, and we have it chained. But how long can we keep death from entering? It is just a matter of time till we have to walk through the door of death. As long as we are under the misconception that we are this body. But when we realize we are the eternal self, we are part of God, there is no more death. There is no more old age. There is no more disease. There is only eternal life, full of bliss and full of knowledge. That is Krishna consciousness. By associating with saintly people, by living a pure life, by chanting the holy names of God, by hearing the wonderful narrations of Krishna's words and Krishna's lila, and by learning through these agencies how to apply this divine consciousness to our everyday life, we can realize the truth of God within our hearts. We can be beyond birth and beyond death. By utilizing the gift of intelligence, the gift of physical strength, all the gifts that God has given us, by utilizing them to approach the goal of life, we are the most fortunate and enlightened souls. And we should not delay it, because time and tide wait for no man. Moment after moment, our lifespan is diminishing. The opportunity is now. The facility is here.
whether we are students, whether we are brahmacharis, whether we are doctors, whether we are lawyers, whether we are businessmen, whether we are housewives, whether we are warriors like Arjuna, use the gifts that Krishna has given us in his loving service. For the purpose of benefiting others by bringing them closer to God. And of course, when we chant the holy name of the Lord, this is the meditational process by which this wisdom, this insight is awakened within our heart. And with this insight, with this wisdom that awakens through the chanting of the holy name of God, we can apply it and direct it in every aspect of our life, in whatever we do. Then our life is truly wholesome and fulfilling, and we can give true, blessed gifts of that love, of God's love, to those we care for, and ultimately to all humanity. Thank you very much, Adivo. Is there any questions? If there's any questions, we can try to answer. Translation? Is there anyone that doesn't speak English? Of course, they're not going to raise their hands because they don't understand the question. Everyone speaks English? Okay. Is there any questions? I have the same Gandiva bow, the same arrows, the same chariot drawn by the same horses. And I use them as the same Arjuna to whom all the kings offer their due respects. But in the absence of Lord Krishna, all of them at a moment's notice have become null and void. It is exactly like offering clarified butter on ashes, accumulating money with a magic wand, or sowing seeds in barren land. But the most important part of this chapter of the Bhagavatam is the next verses. Arjuna is completely forlorn. He is feeling totally void, with no meaning to live without Krishna, his friend, by his side, because Krishna had left for his abode. But then Arjuna tells Maharaj Yudhisthira that now I am remembering Krishna's instructions to me. When Arjuna was on that battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. He said, now that I remember these wonderful instructions, I feel the presence of God again in my life. And again, I have renewed strength and vigor and courage and meaning to live. It is a fact. As Arjuna found the presence of Krishna and a meaning to live by remembering the instructions of Gita, in the same way, because we have forgotten Krishna, our lives become meaningless. They become void. But the words of Krishna are eternal. They are immortal. Krishna is living within his instructions. Similarly, when our Guru Maharaj, just before he left this world, some of our devotees asked him, when you leave, we will be cast in a dreary void. We will have no master. We will have no guide. How will we go on with our spiritual lives? Guru Maharaj said, I live forever in my instructions, and I live forever in the hearts of those who follow my instructions.
this is the word of Krishna as well. In fact, when our Guru Maharaj left this world, we had no other recourse but to take shelter of this chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because without Gurudev, but when we simply began to read our Guru Maharaj's books and remember his divine instructions, all of us came alive. The Bhagavad Gita is Krishna. Every syllable, every sound of the Gita is none different than Krishna. We are never without Krishna, as long as we are hearing and obeying his word. This is his great mercy. And that same Krishna, when he appeared as Lord Chaitanya, he taught us the most wonderful, sublime way of following the essential conclusion of the teachings of the Gita, to always remember Krishna. And that was by chanting Krishna's names. Krishna is none different than his instruction, and he is none different than his name. The essence, Mahaprabhu taught, of all the teachings of Gita is in a humble state of mind to chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Because by sincerely chanting those names and honestly endeavoring to follow his teachings, we will always be with Krishna. The life of God will ever dwell within us, and the light of his love will not only brighten our own lives, but will brighten the lives of any fortunate soul that comes in contact with us. This is the greatness of Krishna. So now I would like everyone to chant the holy name of Krishna.